السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، وصلى الله على النبي الأمي برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. Respected listeners, recently we discussed brothers from the Sahaba رضي الله عنهم. Two brothers, Anas bin Malik and Bara bin Malik. Their mother was Umm Sulaym. Their father was Malik. And he passed away without embracing Islam, unfortunately. Then their mother remarried a man by the name of Abu Talha radiallahu anhum. Their father was Malik and their uncle was Anas. So I recap, the father was Malik ibn al-Nadr and their uncle was Anas ibn al-Nadr. So like Anas radiallahu anhu, whose name was Anas, the one who made khidmat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his uncle was Anas ibn al-Nadr, al-Najjari radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Such a sahabi who was really a man who stood out in his way, in his life, in his practices. He was a man who emulated Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam through and through. One who gave his life for Allah's deen. Quran attests to that. The hadith proclaims that. Meaning, what greater virtue can there be than Quran and hadith portraying a person's position and status in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is something more honorable? Can there be something more noble? Can there be something greater than this that anyone can aspire for? In the hadith, Anas radiallahu anhu, this Anas ibn al-Nadr, had a sister, obviously a noble individual from the Banu Najjar family. Sister was a noble woman. Her name was Ar-Rubayya' bintun Nadr. So Ar-Rubayya' is the diminutive term in the Arabic for Ar-Rabi'. So Ar-Rubayya', a little beautiful garden or beautiful environment like spring. And her title was Al-Mukannah bi Ummi Haritha. So her title was Ummu Haritha radiyallahu ta'ala anha. Radiyallahu anha had a son by the name of Haritha. So her title and appellation was Ummu Haritha. So Haritha radiyallahu anhu was a very pious youngster, young sahabi, and he grew up in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him special care, would often speak to him, and he would spend his time correctly, spend his nights in ibadat, his days in ibadat. One day Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, كيف أصبحت يا حارثة? How are you this morning? How is your condition? And amazing, Sahaba radiallahu anhum understood this question in such an amazing way. If someone asks you, my respected listener, how are you? Your answer would be well or fine. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah must be part and parcel of it. And that is good, but look at the level of the iman of Sahaba. When Allah's Nabi asked him, how are you this morning? Kayfa asbahta? The Sahabi radiallahu anhu responds, he understands it to be the question of iman. Asbahtu mu'minan billahi haqqan. My condition is, I have made this morning with firm belief in Allah, true conviction in Allah, true belief in Allah. Sahaba understood iman as priority. Understand, my respected listeners, the main priority in our life, the object of our life is this iman. To live with iman and to ask Allah's help and leave this world with iman. Then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the sahabi, radiallahu anhu, that every statement has proof. What is the reality? What is the proof of your statement? Prove it. So he said, oh my Nabi, oh Nabi of Allah, لقد عزفت نفسي عن الدنيا. Oh, عزفت نفسي عن الدنيا. My heart has turned away from the love of this world. My nights are spent in standing before Allah, and I spend my days in fasting before Allah. And Allah has given me this iman, وَكَأَنِّي أَنظُرُ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِ النَّارِ يَتَلَظَّوْنَ بِنَارِهَا. It's as though I can see the people of hell being blazed and suffering in hellfire, and screaming and shouting and yelling in the blaze of hell. And it's as though I can see the people of Jannat enjoying their Jannat. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to the Sahabi, yes, you have recognized correctly. Now hold on firm to this iman. Protect it and preserve it. Respected listeners, really we have to protect our iman. Just yesterday, I was going for Maghrib Salah. I see a person on the side of the road, Allah put it in the heart, talk to this brother. So I spoke to him, I said, come join me, let's go to the masjid together. He said, no, not today. So I said to him, okay, what's your name? Can I have your number? He said, my name is Abid, but I'm not Muslim any longer. I was just born Muslim. Allah save us, my respected listeners. Allah save us. Effort of Iman, to worry about our Iman is so important. Allah forbid, Allah forbid. It mustn't happen that tomorrow, na'udhu billah, my child or your child is asked that what is your name? And they say, no, I was born as Abid, not anymore. Allah save us, my respected listeners. How important it is to worry about this gift of Iman. That's why Allah in Quran says, O those who have Iman, preserve and protect your Iman. Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu, aminu billahi wa rasooli. We should not take this Iman for granted. Fa in amanu bimithli ma amantum bi faqad ihtadaw. Allah is telling us in Quran, Allah is telling the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum, if the coming nations bring Iman like you, O Sahaba, brought Iman, then they are rightly guided. So we have to keep Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum in front of us. This Sahabi, this was the level of his Iman. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells him, hold on firm unto it. Then he says, O Nabi of Allah, ask Allah for me to bless me with shahadat, with martyrdom, that I give my life for Allah's deen. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua for him. It wasn't long after that, when the battle of Badr came, the announcement was made, and Sahaba radiallahu anhum were ready, and with that small group of 300 and so much Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they went along with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the expedition of Badr. And the Sahabi was one of the first martyrs of Badr, Haritha radiallahu anhu. His mother, Ummu Haritha. His mother, Rubayya radiallahu anha, was so sad, grieved, losing her son. She was depressed. She comes to the Nabi of Allah. She says, oh Nabi of Allah, إِيَّكُنْ حَارِثَةُ فِي الْجَنَّةِ لَمْ أَبْكِ لِفَقْدِهِ. If my son is in Jannah, tell me, I won't cry. I won't mourn his loss. But if he's in Jahannam, then I'll cry and my eyes will not stop tearing, and my heart will burst and not be able to tolerate it. Tell me, where is my son? The Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, O Ummu Haritha, Ya Ummu Haritha, it's not one Jannat. Innaha Jinan, there's levels in Jannat, O mother of Haritha. And Haritha has received the highest level of Jannat. Wa inna Haritha fil firdausil a'la. وَإِنَّ حَارِثَ فِي الْفِرْدَوْسِ الْأَعْلَى. The worry of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, that them and their offspring and their progeny and man can get Jannat and save from Jahannam. My respected listeners, Iman is priority. We have to preserve and protect our Iman like the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. It is a constant effort. Think of it. For clothes to get dirty, we don't have to make an effort. Just wearing it, automatically it gets soiled, dirty, it turns brown. For it to become clean, an effort has to be made. In the same way, our hearts need a concerted effort. Neglecting the effort of Iman, neglecting the effort of cleansing the heart, actually will weaken us. Take the example of the garden, my respected listeners. A beautiful garden you may have. Neglect it for 6 or 7 months. Come back and visit that beautiful farm or garden that you may have. It doesn't look like a garden anymore. It looks like a bush or a jungle or an area infested with wild animals, scorpions, snakes and bush. What happened? I did nothing wrong. It was so perfect 6 months ago. Yes. But you did not worry about it and tend to it for 6 months. If that is the condition of a simple garden, what about the condition of the heart? The condition of the heart is more dangerous. That scorpions and snakes would penetrate there. And that is the diseases of jealousy, hatred, malice. That's why effort of Iman and the effort of purifying ourselves and sitting in the company of the pious is something imperative for every one of us. And we learn this from the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. That's why it's so important to sit in the company of the pious. Radiallahu anhum would go out of their way to be in Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's company, and they would interact with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like we see the condition of Haritha radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. One day it happened that the mother of Haritha, Ummu Haritha, being the sister of Anas ibn Nadhr, was not in such a good condition or mood, and there was one slave from a different family who had come to speak to her about something, and not being in that proper sense of her mind, she had actually got upset and she smacked this individual. And that actually caused front tooth to fall. Thaniya, thaniya in the Arabic language. So now this tooth had fallen. Ummu Haritha radiallahu anha realized her mistake. She regretted this immensely. And she actually went with her brother Anas ibn Nadar to ask for maafi and forgiveness. And then they even offered, you know, the blood money for that, because this tooth of this girl broke. They refused to accept the blood money. They presented this case before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, qisas has to take place, meaning something equal has to be done to one who perpetrated this. In this, Anas bin Nadar was shocked. Be of Allah, the tooth of Ummu Haritha would be broken. O Nabi of Allah, it should not be broken. By Allah who has sent you with truth, it should not be broken. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, O Anas, it's the book of Allah that decides. And this is what Allah's book has decided. Yes, then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked at the family of this girl, the slave girl. And then they then agreed, yes, O Nabi of Allah, this Ummu Haritha's truth should not be broken. We have forgiven, O Nabi of Allah. We pardon, O Nabi of Allah. Ajib how Allah Ta'ala softened their hearts. First they were adamant that they wanted this qisas. Then Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam looked at Anas bin Nadar and said, Inna min ibadillah man law aqsama ala Allah la abarrahu. There are certain bandas of Allah who, when they take oath in Allah's name, Allah brings it to pass. Allah makes it happen according to their wish. These regarding Anas ibn Nadar radiallahu anhu. Regarding the Quran, Quran also reveals in regards to Anas bin Nadar radiallahu anhu. It was the occasion of Badr. Anas bin Nadar was not present, and that was very difficult for him. It was very difficult for him to bear that the first expedition, a very, very important expedition, he was not present with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he always remembered this and grieved regarding this. And he would tell himself, Anas, the first expedition of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you were not there. What guarantees your life? What guarantee do you have that you will participate again with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? We learn something from there, that never should we procrastinate. Never leave opportunities. If there's an opportunity to serve deen, to make khidmat of deen, serve Allah's deen. There's an opportunity to serve Allah's deen in any way possible. Serve Allah's deen in every sunnat method, in every way possible. And then he would say, if Allah Ta'ala honors me, that I can strive in Allah's way, I will definitely show Allah what I am going to do. What am I going to do? Long after Anas made this pledge with Allah Ta'ala, and the day of Uhud came. The day of Uhud was a very, very difficult day. It was a day with great challenge. The mushrikeen were coming with huge numbers right towards Madinah Munawwara. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made mashura with Sahaba radiyallahu anhum that what should be done. He made mashura with them, and finally he made faisla and decision that we will leave Medina and go outside Medina Munawwara and face the enemy there. And as they coming, it was the munafiqeen who, when the Muslims were in front of the mushrikeen, these hypocrites left the Muslims, and they had this objective, Abdullah bin Ubay and his men, with the objective that how to instill weakness into the Muslim lines and increase the morale of the mushrikeen. This was their target. And then they run away from the expedition. Then this battle took place. And at first Allah Ta'ala's help obviously was with the Muslims, and they were victorious. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had placed certain Sahaba radiallahu anhum at a certain mountain pass to defend the Muslims from there. But at some time, when the Muslims had started collecting the booty, they left this post. And Khalid bin Walid and others who had not yet become radiallahu anhu at that time found this pass open, and then they attacked the Muslims from behind. So this was a very, very difficult situation. There was so much of havoc. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was injured. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was being shot at from all directions. There were Sahaba defending him. Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was shot on his face. He was wearing a helmet made with links. the two links had gorged into his cheeks. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says, I see a man rushing towards Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the one side. I am rushing from the other side. Luckily it was Abu Ubaidah who was rushing from the one side. He's rushing towards Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to protect him, to help him. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu reached at the same time. Abu Ubaidah begs Abu Bakr, allow me to tend to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu allows him. Instead of pulling out that link from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's Mubarak cheeks with his hands, which would cause more difficulty and taklif, because a small item to pull out in a delicate manner is more difficult with the hands. He pulls it out with his teeth, and as he pulls out the link from the Mubarak cheeks of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his front teeth fall. And then he pulls out the other link. The other front tooth falls. This was Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiyallahu anhu. We always hear it in the khutbah. لكل أمة أمين وأمين هذه الأمة Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. One of the great, most honest of this ummah. He didn't have front teeth. It was because of this barakah. And then the blood was oozing from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's face and forehead. It was a sahabi by the name of Malik. Malik radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Khudri radiyallahu ta'ala anhu's father. Bin Sinan was his name. He asked Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam permission. And he cleansed Allah's Nabi's face, licking that blood. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, who wants to see a man whose blood is mixed with my blood? من أحب أن ينظر إلى من خالط دمي دمه فلينظر إلى هذا. You want to see whose blood is mixed with my blood? Look at this sahabi, Malik bin Sinan رضي الله تعالى عنه. Others looked at him as though, what are you going to do with the blood? He said, I will swallow this blood. This is the blessed blood. In one report, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من مس دمي دمه لم تصبه النار. He whose blood touches my blood, the fire of Jahannam will never be able to touch him. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's knees were injured. His blessed Mubarak cheeks were injured. His forehead was injured. His lips were injured. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very, very badly injured. To such an extent that even when he was brought back after the expedition, he was actually reclining on the shoulders of the two Sa'ads, Sa'ad bin Ubadah and Sa'ad bin Mu'adh radiallahu anhum. So anyway, during this expedition, there was so much of confusion because the mushrikeen had surrounded the Muslims from all sides. And now, there was so much of confusion. Anas bin Nadhr sees Umar radiallahu anhu. Where is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And the rumor was spread that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has passed away. Couldn't bear it. And how can it be so? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has left this world. Nadhr goes forward. When he hears, because these rumors were spread that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has passed away, he goes forward. He says, oh Allah, I seek your pardon and forgiveness from what these have done, meaning some Muslims, because of confusion now, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, they didn't know what to do. And oh Allah, I free myself from that which the mushrikeen have done, meaning fighting against the deen, fighting against the truth. Oh Umar, what has happened to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The answers came, we hearing that he has passed away, we don't know. Anas bin Nadhr radiallahu anhu says, if Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has passed away for Allah's sake, Allah is ever living, Allah will never die. He continued into the thick of the battle, without any fear, without any worry, without any reluctancy, striving into the thick of the battle. Sa'ad bin Mu'adh radiallahu anhu sees him. So Anas bin Nadhr is saying, Sa'ad Jannat, Sa'ad Jannat. وَرَبِّ النَّظَرِ by the qasam of the Rabb of Nadhr, I'm experiencing the fragrance of Jannat from the direction of Uhud, and he's hastening towards that direction. Sa'ad radiallahu anhu says, I really wanted to do what he is doing, but I just didn't find that level of determination. By the time the expedition had completed, and Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, look for the bodies. And Anas bin Nadhr radiallahu anhu's body was found, Allahu Akbar, on this maidan, on the battlefield of Uhud. There were more than 80 wounds on his body. Strikes with the sword, pierces with the spear, shots with the arrow. And after that, the mushrikeen had mutilated the bodies of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. They mutilated, tore their bodies apart. To such an extent that Anas bin Nadhr radiallahu anhu's body was so badly desecrated and mutilated that no one could even recognize him. It was only his sister, Harithah, radiallahu ta'ala anha, who could recognize him. He recognized him by his fingertips. He gave lives for Allah's deen. Sahaba, they will stand before Allah, giving everything. They gave everything for Allah's sake. They gave everything for truth to remain firm. They gave everything for Allah's pleasure. Quran comes down. Quran comes down. And this Sahabi, radiallahu anhu, and others like him, بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم من المؤمنين رجال صدقوا ما عاهدوا الله عليه فمنهم من قضى نحبه ومنهم من ينتظر وما بدلوا تبديلا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, from the believers there are those true men, رجال, men, صدقوا ما عاهدوا الله عليه. They were true to their pledge with Allah. صدقوا ما عاهدوا الله عليه. They were true with their agreement with Allah. فمنهم من قضى نحبه. Some are those who fulfilled their duty already. They fulfilled their share and have given their lives already for Allah. And the second category are those who are waiting to do the same. ومنهم من ينتظر. وما بدلوا تبديلا. And they kept the deen pristine and pure as they received it without changing anything in that aspect. So this was Anas bin Nadr radiallahu ta'ala anhu and his brothers who were the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Interestingly, this ayat comes in Surah Al-Ahzab. Surah Ahzab, the Battle of Ahzab was later, but the verses of the Quran is so miraculous in its revelation. Few verses before this, Allah informs us of the importance of the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In Surah Al-Ahzab, Allah Ta'ala says, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ وَذَكَرُ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. Meaning how Sahaba radiallahu anhu didn't change anything. What is meant? They followed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in every aspect of their life. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ. In this verse, there is so much of emphasis. Allah is telling us, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's lifestyle is the perfect example for you. The best way for you. The most upright way for you. But there's so much of emphasis in this verse of the Quran. For example, take note, my respected listeners. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ. This lam, لَقَدْ, that lam is for emphasis. And when this lam comes, there's a wallahi which is hidden there. So there's a by Allah. One emphasis. La, that lam, second emphasis. Qad, third emphasis. Emphasizing this fact of emulating and following Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah could have said, follow my Nabi. But with so much of emphasis. Qad, third emphasis. Kana, in this context, it comes for emphasis. Kana. Lakum, for you, meaning for your benefit. For your upliftment. You will benefit when you will follow my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Lakum. Rasulullah was sufficient. Fi Rasulillah, in Allah's Nabi's way, in his lifestyle, in every aspect of his life is the perfect example. Fi Rasulillah, uswatun hasanatun, the perfect example. Then Allah Ta'ala gives us attributes, meaning in whose life, who will give importance to Allah's Nabi Sunnah, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's Sunnah. Liman kana yarju Allah, he who hopes to meet Allah. Another meaning, he who fears Allah. واليوم الآخر, and he worries about the day he has to stand before Allah. وذكر الله كثيرا, and he makes the ذكر of Allah Ta'ala in abundance. He remembers Allah profusely. So Allah Ta'ala give us these beautiful qualities of the great Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. And this was the life of Anas bin Nadr radiallahu anhu. I would just like to complete with sharing with you the dua that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught Jabir radiallahu anhu. Quite a few had asked, so I'll just read it one more time. Jabir radiallahu anhu comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam offered him 10 goats or this dua. So he said, O Nabi of Allah, definitely the words that of dua is more beloved to me. But you know I am also needy. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, read with me. Allahumma antal khallaqul azim. اللهم إنك سميع عليم، اللهم إنك غفور رحيم، اللهم إنك رب العرش العظيم، اللهم إنك أنت الجواد الكريم، فاغفر لي وارحمني وعافني وارزقني واسترني واجبرني وارفعني واهدني ولا تضلني وأدخلني الجنة برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. He says, Jabir radiallahu anhu continued learning it, and Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued repeating it for me until I memorized it and learnt it. And then he said, learn these words, O Jabir, and teach them to your offspring, to your posterity after you. And Jabir radiallahu anhu was leaving because he chose the dua. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, take the flock with you as well. Let's read three quls for Anas bin Nadr radiallahu anhu and all the great Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil ummi bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimeen.